The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to columbustoday.com, keyword Dentally Speaking, or find them at dentallyspeaking.com. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
94.7 WSNY. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining me today here on Sunny 95. I think we're going to have a great show today. It's going to be a great day, bright and sunny. Today on the show with us, we have Dr. Sam Wexler. He earned his DDS degree from the UIC College of Dentistry in 1964, and he's one of the foremost dental historians in the world. Thought that would be pretty neat. About a year and a half ago, I did a series of shows, The History of Dentistry, and now I have a living, breathing expert on the phone with me today, so I'll be able to ask him all kinds of questions. He is a longtime member of the Dental Alumni Board of the college. Dr. Wexler has served in every executive position, including president. He's one of the only two individuals in history to serve more than one term as president. Also, Dr. Wexler created the dental history exhibit at Chicago's Museum of Science and Industry and at the Hadassah School of Dental Medicine in Israel. He was involved in the development of the Samuel Harris National Dental Museum in Baltimore, Maryland, and also has a dental history museum in his home in Richmond, Illinois. And actually, that's one of my questions I'm going to ask him about, is that dental museum in Maryland. And so, Dr. Wexler, thank you for getting up and being on my show.
My pleasure, Doctor.
Now, Dr. Wexler was kind enough to provide me with Dr. Kvitko's question of the day this week. Normally, I just make one up on my own, and I thought, well, let me just see if I can get a neat one from Dr. Wexler. So he sent me this question. Actually, there's a dentist named Dr. Kells, K-E-L-L-S, which we're going to talk a little bit about here in a minute, but let me give out the question then. Dr. Kells was the first dentist in the United States to work with x-rays. And the question is, what year was that? Was it A, 1840, B, 1896, C, 1916, or D, 1946? You can call us with your guess at 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. The winner to our question of the day will receive a free mixed seasonal floral arrangement from Vistember Florist.
Sunny 95 will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. Sunny 95 cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
Boy, that makes me sound so important, doesn't it? I have the final say. Anyway, okay, the question again was, Dr. Kells, a dentist, was the first one in the United States to use x-rays, work with x-rays. Was it A, 1840, B, 1896, C, 1916, or D, 1946? Give us a call at 459-9769 or 459-WSNY. If you're shy and you want to send an email, go ahead and send the email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. All right, so Dr. Wexler, tell me about Dr. Kells, because I did not know that. I missed that completely in my shows that I did about dental history a while back.
Well, Dr. Kells is sort of an unfortunate story, and he was one of the first to use x-ray in the United States, and one of the first to use x-ray right after Rentgen discovered x-ray in 1895. And in fact, his dental chair is over at the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. He practiced in New Orleans. He worked with x-ray within 6 months after its discovery. Unfortunately, they did not realize how dangerous x-ray was, and he developed cancer from its close contact with x-ray. And in the 20s, he actually committed suicide because he had worn out his body with x-ray. He lost, like, fingers and different parts of his body from the use of X-ray, not knowing its danger.
Wow. Now, so as we, before we throw out a big cautionary or people get real nervous about this, let us tell us, or maybe you can tell me, I think I know that back then they didn't know what it was and it was relatively low power and they would have to turn the X-ray machine on for, say, 5 minutes, 6 minutes to get an image?
Right, right. It took so long to get images, thanks to digital. In fact, I just had some dental work done. My son's a dentist out in Tucson, and I just had some work done last week. And it was just amazing with digital X-ray that you get the image 1, 2, 3. You don't have to fool around with chemicals and whatnot. Of course, you still have to use an X-ray machine.
Right.
But it just is amazing to an old-timer who used to, when we took an X-ray and you had to wait 5 or 10 minutes to get the results. Now it's instantaneous. It's
right. The exposure is 0.09 seconds, and it takes less than 6 seconds to have the image. Hey, we have a caller on the line with their guest to our question of the day. Caller, what's your name?
Hi, good morning. My name is Edie.
Hi, Edie. Thank you for calling. What's your guess?
1916.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not correct, but I do appreciate the call.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bye-bye. So the guesses, or rather the choices, are 1840, 1896, 1916, and 1946, and we just discovered 1916 is incorrect, so there's only three left if you're listening. 459-9769, and the winner gets a mixed seasonal floral arrangement from Weistember Florist. All right, so Dr. Wexler, the radiation, the length just really, really... You know, it's amazing. It's just, I love it. When I do the when I do a root canal or something, I have my image instantly,
right.
And I can just keep going.
Right.
Now, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a dental historian, and I think in your bio it might have indicated the answer to my question. There's only two of you?
Yes. As far as dental historians, there were only two. In fact, one of them just passed away. Both of them have passed away in the last couple of years that had PhDs in dental history. And there's a group called the American Academy of the History of Dentistry, which is a group of us that are interested in the history of dentistry, and it takes all different forms. Like my form is collecting the heavy stuff. Like I started collecting dental chairs and the heavy equipment, switchboards and that type of thing, and cabinets. Some collect dental art that refers to dentistry. In fact, I have a beautiful picture that I got in Israel of a caricature of a man having a tooth pulled. Unfortunately, the string is not tied to a doorknob. It's tied to a snail.
Interesting. Hey, and, we have another caller with a guess for our question of the day. Tina, what's your guess?
B, 1896.
Dr. Wexler, is she right?
Yes, that's the right answer.
That's the right answer. So, Tina, hang tight. My producer's going to get your information off the air while I'm interviewing Dr. Wexler, and you will get the flowers from Weistember, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you for listening.
He gets mums, huh?
I don't know what it's going to be.
Okay.
Mixed seasonal, I guess that could be mums. All right, now, so the reason I was laughing when you have the snail, that's very cute, of course, but of course most dental art, we seem to be depicted in the media as hurting people or dropping things, but... But I'm working on trying to change that. Let me ask you this. How did you get interested in dental history? I mean...
Okay, in the 1960s, the late 1960s, I joined a group of dentists, and we opened up several offices, and my job was going out and buying used equipment and also taking care of the supplies of these many offices.
Oh, it's like a little side business.
One day when I was clearing out an office on the south side of Chicago with Bill Andre, who was an equipment man, I opened the closet, and there was this green light in there, and I said, Bill, what is this? He said, oh, Doc, you don't want it. It's an old cluster light. Well, a cluster light was one of the first dental lights used in the dental office in 1910 or 1915, and it had four beautiful cut glass globes that dispersed light all over the room, so this was its advantage. Spotlights weren't really in vogue yet because they weren't that effective, and the cluster light was in the office until the mid-1930s.
Wow.
So I took that home and I hung it in my family room. I have a very considerate wife, of course. And the next thing I knew, my barber had a barber dental chair. Actually, in your state of Ohio, in the 1890s, there were a lot of manufacturers of dental goods. And there was Ransom and Randolph up in Toledo. They made dental cabinets and then later filling materials and cements. And then in Canton, Ohio, you had like four or five major manufacturers of dental chairs and equipment, such as Weber and Harvard. So anyway, I got a hold of an old dental catalog, which was available from different supply houses going back to 1870. And I started looking and seeing what I wanted. And then I would send out letters. This was before eBay. Now eBay has taken over.
Yeah, really.
And I would send out letters from of dentists before 1920, guys that graduated before 1920.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get leads on all these cabinets or dental chairs that I was after. I sent out a want list. And then we would plan our vacations around going different places where I could look at this stuff and maybe buy it.
Huh.
So we went across the country, Philadelphia and Florida, Georgia. I had a big old van.
I was going to ask you, did you bring a truck with you?
It's sort of like that show on TV, The Pickers.
You were like the original
picker.
So
anyway, many a times I'd come home and had to move the seats out of the van and put them to the side.
Uh-huh.
And the kids would be sitting in dental chairs and that kind of stuff on the way home.
But I'd like to see a picture
of
that.
Probably why one of my sons became a dentist.
Because he grew up in a dental chair. Hey, Dr. Wexler, we have to go to a commercial break, so hang with us, okay?
Okay.
All right, when we come back, we have more questions for Dr. Wexler, dental historian extraordinaire. All right, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Sunday 95. Thank you for joining me today. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
Looking for that perfect gift? Something different that your friends will love? Moxie's in Clintonville has just what you're looking for. Moxie specializes in entertainment barware, dishware, and linens, both new and vintage. They carry Fiesta, Hearthstone, and signature products. Moxie's also has the ideal host or hostess gifts. Wrap candies including wax lips, bubblegum cigars, ring pops, and charm bracelets and necklaces. If you have no room to entertain, no problem. Moxie's has the room for you to host. The soiree room features black and white striped floors, Hollywood style seating, and a private outdoor deck. It's great for your next book or card gathering, birthday, or bridal shower. So when you're looking for a place to host some friends or looking for that perfect gift, go to Moxie's in Clintonville. Moxie's, 3339 North High Street, open Tuesday through Saturday. For more information and hours, call 657-6854, 657-6854.
Dentally speaking,
Seagull Bags encourages you to take custom to a new level. Located at 3343 North High Street, just south of East North Broadway. They specialize in handmade custom courier bags and backpacks. All of their bags are completely waterproof and built to withstand any nasty condition you can think of. Stop by their shop and design a custom bag from scratch with one of the people that is actually going to build your bag. You choose the size, all the colors, and what pockets you need and where you want them. They also do custom embroidery. They have a full line of bags from tool bags to gigantic backpacks. Their bags are ideal for cyclists, students, or anyone that values quality and customization. Check out their website at seagullbags.com or come visit their Clintonville storefront. Let them make something amazing for you.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Thank you for joining me today. We have Dr. Wexler, Dr. Sam Wexler, who is a dental historian. He's calling in today. He's actually in Chicago, so it's a little bit darker there than it is here, and a little bit earlier. Dr. Wexler, I wanted to ask you before I forget. I noticed that there's a dental museum called the Dr. John Harris Dental Museum in Bainbridge, Ohio, and also there's the Dr. Samuel D. Harris National Museum of Dentistry at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. And I know that you helped with the one in Baltimore. Are both of these Dr. Harris's related?
No. One Dr. Harris is the Dr. Harris from Bainbridge. And Dr. Harris in Bainbridge was considered starting the first dental school in the United States in 1825. And
which was in Cincinnati, right?
1830.
Was that in Cincinnati?
No, that's in Bainbridge.
So he started the dental school in Bainbridge?
Yes.
I did not know that. I thought it was
down
Cincinnati.
And there, this was in 1825 to 1830, he had about 8 to 10 students. One, his brother, went off to start the College of Dentistry at Baltimore in 1840. One of the other students, a guy by the name of James Taylor, I believe it was, started another school in Ohio a little few years later.
Wow.
So you had like the second dental college in the United States.
Who had the first?
Well, who had the first as a college was in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
The first classes where someone considered dentistry as a specialty of medicine was actually this Dr. Harris in Bainbridge.
Okay. And you had something to do with starting or equipping the museum at Maryland, right?
Right. Now, the one in Maryland, that Dr. Harris was a Samuel Harris. He was a children's dentist, a pedodontist from Detroit. And somewhere along the line, he came across a lot of money, and he provided over $1 million to start this National Dental Museum in Baltimore.
What year was that?
That was probably in the early 1990s.
Okay.
And I helped plan it, and it was really based around the layperson.
Yeah.
In other words, the displays there are more for the layperson.
Yeah, they have great big models of teeth. They can almost climb in them.
Right, right.
Lots of things for kids.
Yes, of course. Like, my collection consists of the evolution of the dental chair and some of the other dental equipment, the x-ray, and there you really don't get a good lineup of the evolution of dental equipment. I mean, there'll be a display. In fact, I once took care of this woman who hung from a trapeze by her teeth.
Oh, I think I saw that picture on the website.
Yeah. It's at the museum there.
Okay, I saw that. I thought that might have been actually a live demonstration. Maybe they were doing like a circus act. But is it a wax figure or some kind of a figure that they just have there suspended?
No, it's just a model in that there. But okay. I remember the woman was a patient of mine. The circus was at the amphitheater here in Chicago. And this was in the 70s. And she insisted that we do all gold inlays and gold crowns because she was hanging by your teeth.
Your advertising could have said, "My dentist is so good, you can hang upside down from your teeth."
Yeah. So anyway, I don't think it's a good practice. I think you need a lot of skill and you need really good teeth.
By the way, if anyone is interested, the phone number of the Samuel Harris National Museum of Dentistry is 410-706-0600. If anybody wants to find out more information, or you can just type in the Dr. Samuel D. Harris National Museum of Dentistry, and I'm sure their website will pop up. Okay, so they are not related. Just a coincidence that they both happen to have the last name Harris.
Right.
And the museum, there is a Dr. John Harris Dental Museum then, the one in Bainbridge, and their phone number is 740-634-2228. And they're actually open Sundays from 1 to 4, so if somebody's interested, call them up and you can head over there. It's not that far from Central Ohio. You also set up a museum at the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Dentistry, which is where you live. So
right.
Tell me about that.
Well, what happened was with all my collecting in that, everybody sort of became a maven. And we set up this one in 1986 at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And I invited the deans of the three dental schools that existed at that time in Chicago. Now we only have one. And only the dean from Illinois showed up. Dr. Yale, and he asked me to help with the anniversary, the 75th anniversary of the dental school. And so I got involved with the University of Illinois Dental School, which I went to, and when I left, I thought I'd never come back. Dental school is no fun, as we all know as dentists. And I got involved with the school for over 20 years, and during that time, we put up a display for the 75th anniversary in the lobby. And it went over so big that they decide to move it, you know, to the fourth floor of the school and fifth floor and actually enlarge it into a whole history of the school.
Wow, that's pretty
neat. So that's what we did. And along the way, I met many interesting people, and I found out that Dr. John Borden went to the school, graduated in 1939, and he is the one that invented the air rotor, or the water drill.
Wow. The one we call the high-speed
hand. I got to talk to him. I believe he's still alive. He's in his 90s. And it was the air rotor that evolutionized dentistry in the 50s.
What was his name again?
Dr. John Borden.
Borden, okay. I did not know that either. And, of course, we call that the high-speed handpiece. That's that high whine that everybody talks about when they think of dentistry. One of my patients has a really good imitation of it. Really, he's got the sound down. You sure it wasn't because your wife wanted all that furniture out of your house that you did the Chicago Museum?
Well, I probably have one of the largest collections of the heavy stuff, like chairs and cabinets, of anyone else. And I really tried to save American dental equipment history. Unfortunately, it was the major companies that made dental equipment, like S.S. White, Ritter, and Weber, that I mentioned from Canton, Ohio. They were all out of business.
Right.
And it's too bad. Some of these companies had over 6,000 employees at one time. And what happened was they didn't modernize fast enough. When we went to sit-down dentistry in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they were still making what we call these gas tank-type units that were fixed to the floor alongside the chair.
Right.
And companies came along with equipment for more or less sit-down dentistry, like Ken Austin with ADEC, and just took over the field of dental equipment.
Right.
And these other companies just faded away then.
You know, I always wonder about things like that. So, for example, you know, when we were younger, you'd go and fill up your car with gas, and the price would roll by on these rolling discs, you know, as the price went up, you'd see it roll by, and now it's all digital. So I always wonder, did the companies that made those old-style pumps, did they go out of business, or did they just modernize and now they sell the digital?
No, unfortunately, all three of the major dental companies went out of business.
Oh, okay.
They just folded up. That was the time in the 70s when these conglomerates that knew nothing about dentistry were buying up dental companies.
Oh, okay.
And they just didn't know how to run them, and they didn't keep up with the up-to-date equipment, and they just caused these companies to disappear.
Oh, that's really unfortunate. Let's see, we have about a minute before we have to go to a break. So let me see if I can ask you a question that will have a short answer. How much does it, what does it entail, and what does it usually cost to open up a dental museum? That might not be a one-minute answer, but do your best.
That is a hard question.
Well, do just the part you can, and then all
that. It depends on the quality of the museum, what you want. Like in Ann Arbor, Michigan, they have a wonderful dental museum at their dental school. Also, this Dr. John Harris, or Samuel Harris, rather, paid for that museum. And I think they just did a renovation. It was well over $1 million, but it's a magnificent museum.
Okay, $1 million.
So it depends what you want to do, like anything else. You want a Volkswagen or you want a Mercedes?
I think we all want a Mercedes, but we wind up driving around in Volkswagens, don't we?
Right. It's pretty hard nowadays. The money's pretty tight.
Right. Okay, well, stay with us if you will. We do have to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kvitko on Sunny 95. Just let me mention that you can access podcasts of these shows by going to dentallyspeaking.com, or you can go to iTunes and type in either Dentally Speaking or Dr. Kvitko. Of course, they replay on columbustoday.com at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. weekly, every weekday. And so anyway, stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. I live my life and practice dentistry by four very important principles: comfort, compassion, respect, and care. They are my guide to providing the very best and most comfortable dental care for you and your family. We want you to feel safe, relaxed, and confident that you are getting the very best care. If you need to correct one tooth or have a total smile makeover, we can help. We provide cosmetic and restorative services including tooth whitening, crowns and bridges, complete and partial dentures, root canals, extractions, and implants. At Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we work hard to earn your trust.
Call to schedule an appointment, 262-9588, or online at drkvitko.com.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita, Sunday 95.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, area, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me. Today we have Dr. Sam Wexler on the phone. He is a dental historian, and we're talking about dental museums and dental history in general. So, Dr. Wexler, is there, or rather, let's put it this way, in the Smithsonian, are there dental devices, equipment, is dentistry represented in the Smithsonian?
There was G.V. Black's dental office there, but now all that has moved to the National Dental Museum in Baltimore.
Oh, so there's...
So they have really control over all the artifacts that they had at the Smithsonian. The Smithsonian actually has a very large collection of antique dental equipment. It's basically in storage because there's no way they could display it all.
Okay, but they do have some at the Smithsonian?
Yeah, they have a few pieces. Like I mentioned, Dr. Kell's chair is there in the American section.
Okay, but most of...
Most of it would be in Baltimore, or Baltimore would have access to it.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good to know. Now, you concentrated on the era between 1870 and 1918, and I'm just curious, what is it about that era that you found interesting, or was it just really old stuff?
That was the area where they started manufacturing dental equipment, where companies were developed just specifically to do that. It was the Industrial Revolution. And I was fascinated at first by dental chairs because they were mechanical at first, and it was sort of like working on the monitor of the Merrimack. It was all raised and lowered and tilted by wedges. And then they introduced hydraulics in the late 1870s, this was the use of oil, and it was first used just to let the heavy patient down to the ground. And it was kind of interesting. That was a hard thing to do, was to let... It was easy to jack someone up in the air, but how the heck do you let them down slowly? So I keep thinking of the Harvard Dental Company. They had like a 70-pound flywheel in the base of their chair, and as the chair went down, this flywheel had a turn, and they had, like, brake shoes around it to slow the turning of the flywheel. So this is how they would let someone down slowly.
Wow. So, and this is something that people just kind of took for granted. That
Right. You never thought about that. How the heck do these chairs work?
I mean, I think we've all, especially as kids, worried about an elevator. What if the elevator falls with us in it? But dental chair, it was the same kind of hydraulics that were used.
And then another thing was they had a solid column at first with some of these chairs that used oil. And I remember one, you had to cut a hole in the floor. So if you had a kid that you wanted to raise real high, how the heck do you let this long column down? So they made a hole in the floor underneath the base of the chair.
It was a big steel round column.
Where the steel rod could go down. And I remember trying to move one of those chairs. And if it wasn't for these dental catalogs, I said, wait a second. They were trying to push it, move it, and they couldn't do anything. I says, you know, I saw a picture. I think this type of chair you have to pick up. There's an extension through the floor. Sure enough, we picked it up, and those things weigh 300-400 pounds.
Wow.
And here was this extension. They actually had a hole in the second floor for extension.
That's amazing. Hey, you know what? I just got the 1 minute sign by my producer that I guess that we're coming to the end of the show. I hate to end it on that question, but maybe we can have you on the show at some point down the line and we'll cover some of these things I did not get to. Would that be all right with you?
Yeah, it would be fine.
Okay, well, thanks so much for being my guest today. Do appreciate it, and maybe off the air we can talk again, or I'll send you an email. All right, you've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Sunday 95. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter by going to www.twitter.com/Dr. Kvitko. And check out Time Warner On Demand, channel 496. There's a little video of me and my staff. Or also watch our show on Insight Channel 7 at 7:30 in the evenings. Thank you again. Tune in next week when we will have a former bank robber convict who is going to talk to us about the dentistry that he received in prison. He's a motivational speaker now. Troy Evans will be my guest next week on the show. Again, go out and have a great week. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and see you next Sunday.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to columbustoday.com, keyword Dentally Speaking, to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's shows.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.